This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. And for those who were absorbing the words of Jim Donilon today, tomorrow we will hear from his announced opponent, Tim Temple. So certainly Mr. Temple will have some ideas and observations about what's going on with the insurance world in our state. Right now, we're visiting with a young woman who is conquering the world in a big way, is one of the top models in New York. Just 4 years ago, she graduated from Episcopal High, and good morning to you, Brooks Claire Nader. Hi, Brooks.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It sounds like you're traveling again. You're a busy bee these days, aren't you?
I am. It's been nonstop recently. So right now I'm talking in my earphones in the airport.
Well, we're glad we got you for a few minutes. And the reason is that Brooks is featured in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which that magazine and its long history, which spans more than a half century, this is the most iconic of issues. And Brooks is there. And this did not happen by osmosis. It took a lot of hard work, didn't it?
It sure did. This was super special for me this year, especially. This year, MJ Day, the editor, really made history with this magazine and this issue. She put Paulina Porizkova, who's in her late 50s and was a supermodel in the 90s, she put her back in, and she looks amazing, I have to say. She put the first woman, first Muslim woman, Paulina, in the issue. So honestly, to be a part of this year's issue in particular was super special for me, and still feels like a dream, honestly.
How did it happen? You certainly had to, I'm sure, have a very rigorous selection process that you conquered to get to the pages of Sports Illustrated.
It was a long process. So last year, last summer, I went down to Miami for what they call open call. And that's basically like, you know, they do their normal selections in New York of models that are rookies, and then they give, you know, everybody else the opportunity, models or not, to go to open call in Miami and meet the editors and hope for a spot in the issue. This year, I think they had like over 10,000 applicants show up to open call, which is insane. My sweet mom came from Baton Rouge and stood in line with me the whole day, which is amazing and worth it in the end. But yeah, so they selected 16 of us over the summer, and then they narrowed it down to 6 of us in January, and those are the 6 that were in the issue. So it's been a long process, a year-long process, but it was totally worth it.
Well, Brooks is 23, the daughter of Holland and Bro Nader, and the granddaughter of Sam Nader, the legendary football coach at LSU, who's been there longer than anyone else. How has your family?
Yes.
How's your family, and how's Coach Nader responded to this?
My family is doing great. Coach Nader is really busy with summer training, and he's got camp going on, so he's very excited. I mean, obviously, it's me half naked in a Sports Illustrated magazine, so we haven't gone too much into detail about it.
All right. Well, you're fading on us, so we'll let you go. But congratulations, Brooks Claire Nader, who's in the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, and I'm sure at age 23 has many miles to go as far as her career as a top model in New York City. Congratulations, Brooks.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
You too. And today is the 10th day of June, which means we're 4 months and 2 days away from an election. Statewide election. All the statewide lawmakers will be up for re-election, or in many cases, there are open seats in the House and Senate. There are almost 50 lawmakers who are term limited, many of whom came in with John Bel Edwards in the House in 2008, and they're unable to vote or unable to return for a fourth term, so they cannot run for the House. But some of them, of course, move to the other chamber. We're seeing that with Steve Carter and Franklin Foyle, who are moving over to run for the seat vacated by the term-limited Dan Clater. And they're joined, of course, in that race by a Democrat, Beverly Brooks Thompson, who is with us. And that's one example of what's going on in the state. there's some examples of people coming back, like Cleo Fields, running again for the Louisiana Senate, where he was first elected in 1987. And he'll be running against Patricia Smith for the seat vacated by Yvonne Colombe. So there are a lot of interesting legislative races. And right now, they're taking precedent over the statewide races. One of the few contested races is the one for insurance commissioner with Jim Donilon, who has to be regarded the favorite, the 13-year incumbent, but has an opponent who is apparently going to spend a lot of his own money, Tim Temple, who is running, a fellow Republican, running against the Republican Jim Donilon. And then there's the governor's race. Right now, there are three major candidates, the incumbent, Democrat, John Bel Edwards, the only Democrat standing in Louisiana statewide office, seeking a second term as governor of Louisiana. And then if he wins, he will have to at very least sit out until an election 8 years from now. But right now he's concentrating on October 12th, which is 4 months and 2 days away. And he has two Republicans challenging him in Ralph Abraham, the congressman from North Louisiana, a doctor, a veterinarian, a pilot, an accomplished man, but one who is not all that experienced in elective politics. But remember, John Bel Edwards wasn't all that experienced 4 years ago, a two-term lawmaker from a meet, state lawmaker, and he defeated three people with vastly more experience than he, David Vitter, Jay Darden, Scott Angel, and he won the governorship in 2015. And then there's Eddie Rasponi, who is a millionaire businessman from Baton Rouge who's running, but to this point has not done a whole lot, and we are getting close. We're less than 18 weeks from the election. So right now, if we have the phone lines open for a few moments, and we do, if you'd like to chime in, 877-217-5757 is your number. And remember, John Bel Edwards is running, and I'm sure he will be reminded of this, as a quote, pro-life Democrat. Nationally, that does not play very well. He basically, by virtue of signing that bill that bans all abortions after 6 weeks and does not include any exceptions for rape, incest, or life of the mother, he has killed his prospects as a national figure in the Democratic Party. But it would appear that he has not irreparably hurt his chances of being reelected, mainly because the other candidates believe exactly as he does. But what would happen if a pro-choice Democrat, an abortion rights supporter, were to get in the race? Would that give John Bel Edwards trouble? Because right now there's no one on his left flank pushing him, and as a result, it would seem that he's the overwhelming favorite for re-election. President Trump a few weeks ago was trying to get Steve Scalise in the race, and the governor said on this show, actually on his show, Ask the Governor, he said that it really shows something when they're still, quote, fishing around for candidates, then 5 months from the election, now 4 months and 2 days. Is John Bel Edwards home free, or will this abortion decision, signing one of the most stringent anti-abortion laws in the country, will it cost him his governorship? In some times it might have. In fact, go back to 1991 when Buddy Romer, then a, quote, pro-choice Republican, vetoed two anti-abortion bills. It probably cost him the election. He did it in 1990, and then in 91 he ran for re-election, and he got sandwiched between David Duke on the right, Edwin Edwards on the left, and, oh, by the way, Clyde Holloway, a sitting congressman, also challenged him as the Republican nominee in 1991, and Holloway's 6% of the vote may have cost Romer a slot in the runoff against Edwin Washington Edwards, and as a result, it was Edwards and Duke, and we know what happened. The race from hell produced a turnout of about 80%, but Louisiana elected Edwin Washington Edwards for a fourth time in a scenario in which probably he could have defeated no one else but David Ernest Duke, and that's who he got in a runoff. Romer would have defeated either Duke or Edwards in a runoff that year, but he did not make it, and it was that abortion veto, two of them, that dearly cost him. And some say that history could repeat in just the opposite way, with a Democrat who would be expected to veto an anti-abortion bill as stringent as the one passed by the Louisiana legislature. But Governor Edwards said on the campaign trail in 2015 that he was, quote, pro-life. He kept his word, and he ultimately is willing to accept the political heat. Some thought he might be a viable national prospect, maybe even a vice presidential candidate with one of those people who certain to get the nomination. One of the 20 or so candidates on the Democratic side will get the nomination, and they would probably, under different circumstances, invite the prospect of a Southern Democrat, a governor, a West Point graduate, as their running mate, but not somebody who is to the right of the Democratic Party on these sensitive issues, particularly abortion and also on gun rights. Governor Edwards has signed every gun rights bill that has come to his desk as well. And he is keeping his word as a candidate. This comes as no surprise, but many Democrats in the state probably would be inclined to look elsewhere if there were a viable alternative. But to pay back the governor, if that's what the goal is for signing this bill, is really the right option to vote against him or not vote at all, when the result would be that somebody who holds exactly the same position as he on abortion would be the person who ended up being governor and would be much more conservative on any number of other issues. Eddie Rasponi and Ralph Abraham are both against raising the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour. In Arkansas, a very conservative state now, one that used to be a Democratic state like ours, now a solidly Republican state, they have raised their minimum wage to $11 an hour. They have a governor's election coming in a few years, and believe it or not, the favorite right now to be the next governor of Arkansas, succeeding Asa Hutchinson, is none other than Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the daughter of former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. She is ramping up to run for governor. It's amazing what fame will do. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the person in Arkansas who is positioned to be the governor of that state in a few years. We'll talk more. Judge Tony Graffia with us after this timeout.